Hey, I'm just curious, as we jump in this morning, whether you're online, whether you're in the room, I'm wondering, do I have anybody in the room who believes in the power of prayer? Can somebody give me an amen? Raise your hand. You believe in the power of prayer. You agree with me today that with God, all things are possible. Somebody say amen. All things are possible. There is nothing too difficult for our God. He is able to do anything and everything. Somebody say amen. In the chat, jump in, say amen. We believe in the power of prayer, do we not? Yes, we do. And so that's why whenever we open up our Bible and we start to read stories, we read these stories that just like instill our confidence and just raise our level of expectation, because we see just some amazing answers to prayer in the Bible. This week, I was reading through 1 Samuel, and in 1 Samuel chapter 1, we meet a woman. Her name is Hannah, and Hannah wants to have a child. She wants to be a mama more than anything. She is barren. She's unable to conceive, and so she goes to the tabernacle. She is praying. She's praying. She's praying. She's crying out to the Lord, please give me a son. Give me a child. If you give me a kid, I will give him back to you, is what she ends up praying, and the Lord hears her. She conceives. She has a child. His name is Samuel, okay? Samuel becomes an incredible prophet and priest. God answered the prayer. 1 Kings chapter 17, we've got the prophet Elijah. He's taking care of this widow in Zarephath, and he's like providing for her, and then all of a sudden, her son dies. And she's like, why in the world did this just happen? And so she goes to him, she's like, will you do something? So he goes, and he prays over this child 3 times. And he says, God, please raise this child back to life. Raise this child back to life. And God heard the prayer, and he answered it. And guess what? Raised the child back to life. Joshua chapter 10. Joshua is leading the armies of Israel against their enemies, and they are routing them, like destroying them, like Georgia does Georgia Tech, like just routing them, just wiping them off the field. And Joshua looks up and he goes, man, we're winning, but the problem is that the sun is about to set. We need more time. So Joshua, catch this, prays for the Lord to make the sun stand still so they will have more daylight so they can conquer their enemies. And you want to know what God does? He causes the sun to stand still so they can defeat all of their enemies. All right? Whenever I say that we believe that God can do anything through prayer, we believe God can do anything through prayer. Somebody say amen. 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 So these stories are out there. They inspire our confidence because it's what makes us get to this place where we go, nothing is too difficult for our God. Our God can do anything. And so these stories, they inspire us. But can I also throw this out there? They confuse us. They confuse us. Because every single one of us knows what it's like to pray a prayer and not get that answer. And here's what I know about you. You're online, you're in the room right now. Here's what I know about you. Every single one of us in this room has prayed for God to heal someone at some point. And that isn't always the answer we get. There's a lot of us in the room, maybe online. You have prayed for a broken marriage. Maybe it was your marriage. Maybe it was a marriage of close friends. Maybe it was marriage of your kids. And you have prayed that God is going to mend that marriage. He is going to bring it back together. He is going to restore it. Maybe it was your marriage and you prayed, God, save my marriage, save my marriage, save my marriage. And you pleaded and you begged for him to do that. And you ended up divorced anyway. We all know what it's like to pray for a loved one to encounter Christ, for them to repent of their sins, to turn to Jesus, to be baptized into him, and start following, to walk with him. And yet, as we pray this prayer, and we plead, and we plead, and we plead, and we plead, it feels like they run farther and farther and farther away. And so we know, we believe that God can do anything. We know that he can answer any prayer, but sometimes we just get to this place to where we just kind of wonder, so why isn't God answering my prayer? Why is it that he answered their prayer the way that they wanted it answered and they needed it answered, and why I'm sitting over here and it feels like it's just ping-ponging off the top of the ceiling here? Why is it that God seems to be active and moving and doing incredible things in the lives of people around me, but for us, it just feels like it's a It's a dry season. You ever wondered? You ever wondered why God isn't answering your prayer? I mean, didn't Jesus even say, like, you know, you can ask for anything in my name? I mean, didn't he like say this? He's like, you can ask for anything in my name and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. And we read that and we're like, well, God, I can see how this would bring glory to Jesus. Why won't you answer? You ever wondered that? Why isn't God answering my prayer? And today, I just want to give you a heads up. I don't have any easy answers for you today. There are no easy answers to this question this morning, but I do think that there are some things that we can remind ourselves about as we wrestle through this. So let me start off with this. Let's just ask this question to begin with. So why do we pray anyway? I mean, ultimately, the question is this. What is the entire purpose of prayer? What is the plan? Why are we to pray in the first place? And to help answer this question, we look in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus is teaching his most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, and he's talking to his disciples, and he's teaching them how to pray. And what he says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, are just these words. He says, when you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do, because they think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, because your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. So notice how Jesus starts off. He says, when you pray. Now let me make it just maybe an obvious observation right here, but it says, ready, when you pray, not if you pray. So the understanding is that if we are Christians, if we're followers of Jesus, if we are his disciples, the understanding is this, that we are going to be people who pray, that are continually going before the Lord. And so Jesus says, so whenever you do that, he just makes the assumption, you're going to be people of prayer. He says, whenever you do that, don't go babbling before the Lord. Don't go just repeating the same words over and over and over and over again. He's like, that's what the Gentiles do. We actually see a picture of this in Acts chapter 19. Apostle Paul is in the city of Ephesus, and they brought him into this great big theater, and it's not a good situation, all right? And so there's like this riot that's about to take place, and all the Ephesians just kind of surround, and they start chanting, great is Artemis of the Ephesians. Great is Artemis of the Ephesians. And they chant, y'all, for 2 straight hours. Because they believed this is how we get our gods to act. Is we just got to babble on. We just got to say the right words. You say the right words over and over and over and over and over again. Then finally the gods will have to do something. And Jesus is saying, whenever you pray, don't you pray like that. Don't babble on and on and on and on and on. That's what the Gentiles do. That's what the pagans do. That's not what you need to do. He's like, listen, God is already listening. He's always ready to listen to you. But don't go to him thinking you can manipulate him into doing the things that you want him to do. He's always there. He's always ready to listen. So don't just go up there babbling, thinking you got to like get this right incantation, you know, and if you can, you know, get your right Harry Potter spell going, that God's going to just like open up his ears and be ready to go. It's like, that's not how this works. He's like, he's always aware of what you need. So here's how I put it in my notes. Whenever we think about prayer, listen to this. We don't pray to give God information, but to declare our devotion. To declare our dedication. We're not telling him anything new. He already knows what you need before you even ask. So whenever we go to God, Jesus says, whenever you go to him, what you're doing is you are declaring your devotion. And this is how he plays it out. This is known as the Lord's Prayer. May sound a little bit different because it's a different translation, but just listen to this. He says, so whenever you pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy, and may your kingdom come soon. And may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. So what is prayer? Prayer is about aligning our will with God's. Okay? It's about making sure that our will is put into alignment with God's will. It is about surrendering our will and our wants. It's not dictating our will and our wants to the creator of the universe. That's not what it is. Prayer is what changes us. It changes our character. It changes our will. It changes our desires. It's about changing us, changing our hearts, even as we are seeking him. Our ultimate prayer is, God, would you do something in me? And so the purpose of prayer isn't to try and get God to do just what we want. It's not about asking him to submit his will to ours. It's us saying, God, I am willing to submit to your good and perfect will no matter what it is, because your will is always better than mine. And so whenever we start to look at prayer like that, then we're able to kind of see that prayer isn't like this, like, just magic wish list that we carry around. And it reminds us of just, like, important things to remember, things like God isn't our Santa Claus, and that if you're a good boy and girl, or a good boy or girl, then that means you're going to get a good gift, and if you're bad, you get a lump of coal, God's not Amazon Prime, right? You just click that little buy now button, that little pray now button, and like in 2 days or less, you're going to get your answer. That's not who God is. And I would just suggest that the reason why we end up so disappointed with our prayers is because we forget what the purpose is. And we think it's about getting what we want, when really it's about getting to know God. That's the whole purpose of prayer. So now, that being said, you're probably sitting there going, okay, Turner, that sounds great. But still, can you answer the question? Why isn't he answering my prayers? I mean, I'm trying to pray in accordance to his will. I'm trying to pray at a place to where I'm getting to know him and not just asking for all these kinds of things, And so I've been praying for this. I mean, it seems good, Adam. Doesn't it seem good that I'd be praying, for my neighbor to come to Christ? Doesn't it seem good that I'd be praying, for my son's marriage, to be restored? Doesn't it seem good, for that to be going on? Why isn't he answering our prayers? And once again, no easy answers. There are all kinds of answers that we can throw out here. And so I'm just going to share with you a little wisdom that's been shared with me over the years. There are lists longer than this one. I'm going to share with you four things here just for us to consider. There's more. But here are just a few things for us to consider, okay? So first thing to consider, if you're finding your prayers are not being answered, we need to at least acknowledge this. Maybe it's because we have unconfessed sin in our lives. Maybe, okay? We just got to throw this out there that maybe there is something going on inside of us, something that we are doing that is preventing God from answering our prayers. So listen to Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. This is what the Lord says. He says, it's your sins that have cut you off from God. Then what does he say? Because of your sins, he has turned away and will not listen anymore. Do you hear what the Lord is saying? If there is something going on, now this should probably be obvious, maybe it's not obvious, I don't know, but let's just be clear here. If there is unconfessed sin, if your heart is hard, if you are tolerating and embracing sin in your life, I'm not talking about, that you stubbed your toe in the middle of the night and so you let out a dirty word kind of thing, you're like, oh my goodness, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you are tolerating, embracing sin in your life. You're cheating on your wife, right? You're getting drunk, you're getting high every weekend. You're cheating your employees or you're cheating your boss. You're embracing and tolerating sin. And then you go to the Lord and say, hey, will you do this for me? Is it any surprise that the Lord is saying, excuse me? No. So repent of your sin, turn away from your sin, and then the Lord will hear you. Here's another possible reason. Maybe we've got the wrong motives. Maybe as we pray, we're praying with the wrong motives. James is the brother of Jesus. In James chapter 4, verse 3, this is what he says. And even when you do ask, he starts off like, you don't have because you don't ask. But he's like, but then even whenever you do ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. Somebody once said that God answers prayer in one of four ways. Yes, no, wait, or you've got to be kidding me. It's like the prayer of the student, you know, who turned in his test and prayed, "Oh God, please let Paris be the capital of England." You know, it's like, yeah, you got to be kidding me. That's not how this works here. And so if we go with the wrong motives, whenever we go and we pray selfishly, you know, for, without regard to what God desires, we should not expect him to answer. I mean, this is common in Jesus's day. I mean, you got the Pharisees, they prayed and they had a selfish motive. And their selfish motive was this: they prayed in order to be seen. They wanted other people to look at them and to hear them pray and to go, "Wow, what an incredible holy person that guy is." And Jesus is like, "Yo, you got your reward." And what is your reward? Other people think you're holy. Congratulations, but the Lord didn't hear your prayer. Because your motives are wrong. I remember whenever doing student ministry and working with students, you know, we always had this thing, and I know that, you know, I know that Luke does as well, and really most youth ministers do, to where it's just like, "Hey, y'all, you really shouldn't date non-Christians. You know, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't be dating a non-Christian, because it's so much easier for somebody to pull you down than for you to pull somebody up, you know." And I know over my years, and you can talk to any youth minister, the number of kids who ended off on a path that they shouldn't have been, that because of an improper relationship, pretty high, okay? And so you'd be like, "Yeah, yeah," and everybody would be like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah." And they'd all be for it, but then they would come in, they'd be like, "Hey, can we pray for so-and-so to come to Christ?" And you're like, "Okay, yeah, why is that?" "Well, I want to date him." It's like, really? You know, it's like, really? You know, it's like, how stupid is this now? It's like, does the Lord want him to come to Christ? Absolutely. Just so you can date him? I don't know about that. I mean, come on now. You know, it's like people who pray to win the lottery, like, "God, you let me win the lottery, you know, I'll give half of it to the church." And I think God's up in heaven. He's like, "You don't even give 10% now, you know?" And it's like, talking about giving half after you win $500 million. You ain't going to do that. You know, and so we go into these prayers, and sometimes it's just, the problem is, it's just we've got the wrong motives. We're just selfish in what we want. And is it any wonder that whenever we're praying selfishly, that God just looks at that and just goes, "No, I'm not going to answer that the way you want me to." It could also be this. It can also be that maybe our prayers are going unanswered because we've got broken relationships. Now, things aren't going well relationally. This is what Jesus says in Mark chapter 11. He says, "I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you received it, it'll be yours." Listen to him. "But when you're praying, first forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too." Here's what I'm here to tell you. Whenever our relationships with other people are out of whack, we should not be surprised when God doesn't give us what we're asking for. And here's what I know. So moms and dads in the room, it's Mother's Day. Moms, I want you to think about this situation. I'm sure this never happened in your house, you know, but let's just pretend for just a second. If you've got more than one kid, do you ever have a time whenever those kids were fighting? Okay, so like I said, make-believe situation. You know, "He touched me, he hit me, he's looking at me, he licked my face," you know, all these kind of things. And it's just like, you know, they're going on and on and on. And you're like, "I brought you into this world, I can take you out of this world." You know, you got all these things going on. And so you're getting through these things and everything. They're fighting, they're at each other's throats. And then just imagine what it would be like if in the midst of the argument, they just like stop and then they walk over to you and like, "Can we go get ice cream?" Like, "No, we can't go get ice cream." "Why not?" "Because you two hate each other. That's why. You want to get ice cream, start getting along," right? And that's kind of how we view it. And in the same way, this is kind of what Jesus is saying. If you're like in like constant friction and tension and like holding grudges and treating others poorly, you cannot think that your relationships with other people don't impact your relationship with God. Your relationships with others do impact your relationship with God. And men, husbands, can I just zero in on you for just a second? So if you're a man, you're married, you're a husband, or you ever want to be, I want you to listen to this verse, because this is huge. This is huge. Because your relationship with your wife matters so much more than what you think it does. It even matters to your prayer life. Listen to what the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. He says, "In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives, Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Listen to this. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. Can I just put a real quick spin on that? Adam, if you're being a jerk to Jennifer, then you need to know your prayers will be hindered. If you don't treat her with the love and the respect that you need to treat her, your prayers could be delayed, they could be hindered, they could be weakened, they may not be powerful, they may not be heard. Men, the way you treat your wife matters far more than you think it does. It even affects your spiritual prayer life, your relationship with the Heavenly Father. Men, you treat her with all the respect and all the love that she is worthy of and that she deserves, so that your prayer life will be even more powerful. So sometimes, the reason why our prayers are not answered is because there's a problem with us. There's an unconfessed sin. There's a broken relationship that's present. Our motives are impure. But let me throw this fourth thing out for you today. Sometimes it's just this. God has something different for you. He's got something different in mind. The Apostle Paul over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he talks about this thorn. He's got a thorn in his flesh, a thorn in his flesh. And this is what he says. It starts off in verse 7, 2 Corinthians 12, 7. He says, "So to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away." I got this thing, thorn in my flesh. Nobody knows what it is. It's so much fun. I mean, for 2,000 years, people have guessed and just kind of wondered what it is. You know, some people think it was his eyesight, you know, that his eyesight was fading. And, you know, he's like, I really want to be able to see well. Some people think that he was dealing with bouts of, like, you know, extreme cases of malaria. And, you know, that was just making him really, really sick. Other people think it could be something like epilepsy. He was suffering from seizures. God, please help me with this. Some people even think it was just a person in the church. You know, it was just somebody in the church. Like, I've joked for a long time now that everybody's got a spiritual gift, you know, and some people's spiritual gift is thorn in the flesh, you know, and they love to use it. You know, they're like, "I'm going to be in your side all the time," you know, and you're going to beg and beg and beg. And, but so, you know, we don't know what it was. But here's what we do know. That the thorn generated more than just annoyance. The thorn created agony. He's not just annoyed by this thorn. This is agony in his side. And it seems like, if you run the math here, it looks like he's been dealing with this thorn for almost 14 years at this point. He's like, "There's this thorn, man. I've been begging God three times. I just went through these long seasons of prayer. God, take it away, take it away, take it away. Just God, would you please?" And he says, and each time he said, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness." And so Paul says this, "So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ can work through me. And that's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong." 14 years, friends. Three long seasons pleading, begging God, "Would you do something? Would you do something? Would you do something?" And if you stop and you think about it, I mean, think about who we're talking about. This is the Apostle Paul, for crying out loud. I mean, the dude, you know, preached the gospel for 30 years in every major city along the Mediterranean basin. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was stoned with rocks. He was imprisoned because he would not stop preaching the gospel. He ends up writing a third of your New Testament, okay? This thing that we read all the time. And if you would expect for anyone to like be able to get an answer from God that would be like pleasing, to get the answer that they were looking for, Paul's at the top of the list, my friends. I mean, his qualifications are right there. I mean, his resume rises to the top. But what does Paul get? My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Okay. So I will boast. Why? Don't miss it. Because Paul understood that God had something different in mind for him than what Paul had in mind for himself. In the moment, my friends, you may not get what you want. But whenever you look back, you will see that you got what you needed. His strength. His grace that is made perfect in your weakness. I love what Tim Keller says. He says, God always gives us that which we would have asked for if we knew everything God already knows. See, sometimes, my friends, God just has something different in mind for us. And we can't always see it. We don't know what it is going to be, but we do know that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. And so we continue to plead, we continue to ask, and we continue to trust that he's got something different for us. So why didn't God answer my prayer? Well, it could be something with us. Maybe there's unconfessed sin that needs to be confessed of, and today is the day to confess of that sin and to say, no more. I repent, turning away from that. Maybe it's because we just have impure, bad, selfish motives. We're selfish people, and we're just praying for things that'll bring glory to ourselves. We repent of that today as well. Maybe it's because there's a broken relationship that needs mending, and so we go and we seek. But maybe it's just because he's got something else in mind for us. Maybe that's what it is. But the bottom line is this. Just remember this. Prayer isn't how we get what we want. Prayer is how we get to know God. That's what prayer is all about. Don't forget the entire purpose of it. It's not getting just what we want, but it's about how we get to know him. And so my challenge to you today is this. I call this the prayer for. So, if you've been with us before, then you probably heard us talk about the Grateful Four. If not, it's a very simple exercise we encourage us all to do, is that every day we just start off and we write, you know, four things down that we're grateful for. You know, I'm grateful for this, I'm grateful for that. And it's a way to just begin our day framing and focusing our hearts to be grateful people, expressing gratitude to our good and loving Father, because every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above, okay? So we start our day off with the Grateful Four. But there's actually a second component to it, and it's following the Grateful Four, and we just call it the Prayer Four. And the Prayer Four is just this. You write down four things that you are seeking God about, okay? And here's why this is so good. This is why you should write these things down. There's a couple of things. Writing it down is going to help you check your motives, okay? Because it's really hard after you've gone through all of your gratitudes then to go, and God, would you help me win the Powerball? Because you're like, I don't want to write that down, you know? Nobody wants to write that down, you know? It's like, that just feels weird, you know? And so it helps us just kind of check our motives. But then too, it like gives us a record of the things that we are seeking the Lord over. You know, like one of them could just be on a daily basis, like, God, I want to know you more. I want to get to the place to where even if you don't answer a prayer the way I want to, that I still say, nonetheless, yet I will serve you. Maybe we should all be doing this. Corinth, we talk about our one. You know, you should always, on your prayer four, you've already got one of them written in. It's you're praying for your one. that they would come to know Christ, that they would come to follow Jesus, that God would open a door and an opportunity for you to share, to invite them to come join you in following Jesus. If you don't have a one, then you've already got it there too. It's like, God, give me a one. And so we just start to pray for these things and we say, God, here's what I'm asking and here's where I am seeking you. And yet, nonetheless, I am going to trust you in all of these things. I'm going to trust you because bottom line, God, is I just want to know you. That's the thing I want more than anything. And I'm going to yield, and nonetheless, it's not my will be done, but yours. And then here's the other great thing about writing those things down. Is you will now have a record that you're going to be able to look backwards on and be able to see. Because everything we said at the beginning, that we believe that there is nothing too difficult for our God, that our God hears our prayers, he answers our prayers, none of this changes what we've said here. None of that changes. He is still a God who hears. He is still a God who answers prayer. He is still a God there is nothing too difficult for. And you start writing these things down, and you're going to look back in months and years later, and you're going to be going, here's where I saw God answer a prayer. So whenever you go through the dry season of prayer where it feels like he's not answering anything, you're able to go, but I know he has. He is a faithful God. Here is how he has come through. So, prayer is not how we get what we want. It's how we get to know him. So here's the question, though. If God is just going to do what he wants anyway, then why should we pray? You ever wondered that? If he's just going to do what he wants to do anyway, then why should we pray in the first place? Well, it's about the relationship. Prayer is about deepening that relationship. The old Mennonite Richard Foster, this is what he said. He said, real prayer comes not from gritting our teeth, but from falling in love. And it's whenever we forget that it's about the relationship, that prayer becomes this, you know, break in case of emergency, you know, kind of thing that we use. But it's not that. Prayer is just going in to know him. It's going in so that we can say, God, I want a relationship with you. And so what if prayer isn't just asking for him to bless us, but it's there's this depth that is there that's just beyond that. What if it comes down to this? What if it's that we're not desperate for something, we're desperate for someone? And that prayer is where we get to this place to where we are keeping company with God, reminding ourselves that we are his and not alone, and praying, God, would you bring my will into alignment with his? Friends, God doesn't promise us that all of our prayers will be answered just how we want them to be. And some of you all here in the room today, maybe you're in a dry season. I know the dry season. To where it does feel like everything is ping-ponging off the top of the ceiling. And whenever you find yourself in the dry season, what do? We say, you know what? I believe he can. I believe he will. Because he is faithful. He does not promise that every prayer will be answered the way we want it. But he does promise us that he hears every prayer. And you want to know a prayer that I know that God will hear and answer every single time? It's whenever we cry out to God, God, forgive me. I want to be made right. I want my sins to be washed white as snow, not because of what I have done, but because of what Jesus has done through his cross, through his death, through his resurrection. I want to be made right today. It's the best prayer you can pray, to call out to the Lord and to say, save me from myself. So today, I just ask you, if you've never cried out to the Lord, what are you waiting on? Call out on him. Say, God, save me from my sins. Say, I'm ready to experience the blessing of baptism, to be dunked underwater, brought back up, united into the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, raised to a new life. If you haven't done that, what are you waiting on? Today's a great day to do it. If you're online, visit the site that's on the page right now, on the screen right now, and fill out the form. We'll be in touch with you this week. If you're in the room, grab that connection card, put it on the back, hand it off to an usher as you're leaving today, or bring it up to me after the service. But today is the day to say, God, save me. God, so today we know that you'll hear us. whenever we cry out to you today. And this is tough stuff. This is not easy sledding here today. But we know that we want to have a relationship with you. We know that we want to go deeper in relationship with you. And sometimes that means going through the dry seasons to where it feels like nothing's being answered the way that we want it to be. And so here in this moment, God, for some of my friends who are in the room, who are online, would you just give them the assurance of your presence? God, there's some of us that we don't so much need the assurance of your presence as we need the swift reminder that there is something wrong inside of our hearts that needs to be repented of, forgiveness that needs to be sought. And would you give us the strength, the courage, the will to do so? But in the end, God, we want to be like Jesus, and we want to say, hey, but not my will, but your will be done. And so no matter what it is that we are facing, God, that is our prayer today. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.